Okay, we're ready. You hear me? All right, thank you. Well, it's certainly great to see each and every one of you tonight and to be with you in this meeting. Appreciate the opportunity again to speak to you. I've certainly enjoyed a few other occasions, and I think it's just wonderful that you have this Wednesday night meeting, and it's a wonderful blessing that God has enabled God's people to meet together by these very unusual means. Tonight, I'd like to begin with a thought, a very familiar thought, if you're a Bible reader, and I thank you, most everyone who's attended the Primitive Baptist Church for any length of time has heard this verse quoted and maybe preached on. But in James 5:16, we find where James exhorts those he's writing to confess their faults one to another and to pray one for another. Notice that you confess your faults to one another, but you pray one for another. And then he just establishes or states a great truth found in many places in the Bible. And that is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then he gives us an example of that. He gives an example of Elias, which is Elijah. And he said that Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain in the space of 3 years and 6 months. It rained not upon the earth. We notice this prayer that he speaks about concerning Elijah, that it was an earnest prayer, it was a fervent prayer, and it was an effectual prayer. And then he tells us after 3.5 years that he prayed again that it would not rain, it would rain, and the heaven gave the rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, we can go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, begin to read the life of Elijah. And it's interesting to me that the details of these prayers, or there is no actual reference in 1 Kings 17 concerning his prayer that it would not rain. But we know he had to pray this because James tells us he did. And so when we have first mention of Elijah, he comes before Ahab and says, as the Lord thy God of Israel liveth, there shall be no rain nor dew these years. He didn't say these days or these weeks or these months, but these years. But according to my word. Now we know the years was 3.5 because James tells us. And this righteous man, Elijah, whose fervent and effectual prayer was prayed, and it did not rain. God withheld the rain, being the King of kings and Lord of lords of all the universe and the sovereign ruler of all the universe. He commanded, and the rain was withheld. Without this, we wouldn't be able to read about, of course, how that God took care of Elijah. While God withheld the rain, he did not withhold the blessings from Elijah in his life. God was with him in a very special way. God knew as the drought continued where the water was and the water was not. So he leads him down to a brook. And we find where Elijah drank from the brook, and then God commanded the ravens to feed him. Now, this is, really wonderful and certainly amazing how that God reversed the nature of the ravens, and the ravens brought him food, and God knew where the water was, and he specifically directed him to where the brook was. But I'm sure Elijah, as he drank that brook day by day, saw the level of water beginning to go down and down and down, till one day there was no water to drink. But God's a God of time. He's a timely God. And so he just tells Elijah to leave that place and go to another place. He says, for I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Bible says Elijah did exactly what the Lord said according to the word of the Lord. Elijah is such a wonderful example here of simply not asking God for explanations, but just believing in God, believing what God said and doing what God said. And so he went to where the Lord told him to go, and as he went, I just feel like Elijah probably thought, widows are to be taken care of by the people. Widows was one of several categories of people. There was the widow and the stranger and the Levite, which they were to be taken care of because they fell in certain categories. But now the Lord says he's going to command a widow woman to sustain him. But Elijah went. He did what the Lord said. When he got to the place, it says, and the widow woman. Not a widow woman, but the widow woman came by, and Elijah spoke to her. And he asked her to give him a little bit of a drink of water. And as she turned to go to do that, he also asked her to bring him a little morsel of bread, to which she replied that she had just enough meal in the barrel and oil on the cruise to make one little cake for her and her son, and they were going then to die. Now, I wonder what Elijah thought at this point. The Lord has said he sent a widow woman to sustain him, commanded the widow woman to sustain him, and yet she only has enough meal in the barrel and oil on the cruise to make one last meal. How is she going to sustain him if that's all she's got? This is not a wealthy widow woman. It's a poor widow woman. She doesn't have anything. And so she proceeds to do this after Elijah told her to go and do as she said, but make him a little cake first. And then he tells her something. And this shows what a great man of faith Elijah was. If the Lord said the widow woman was going to sustain him, then the Lord would have to bless her to have enough meal in the barrel and oil in the cruise to sustain him and feed her and her son for the length of time it was going to be until it rained again. So he tells her there'll always be oil in the barrel and meal in the cruise until such time as it rains again. And sure enough, the widow woman did exactly what Elijah said, and she and her son did eat many days. And the Center Refuge Bible will tell you the expression many days means about a whole year. We pray to a God and we believe in a God and trust in a God who can take little things and make big things out of them. We trust in a God that can multiply in such an amazing, miraculous way. God takes just enough meal in the barrel, just enough oil in the cruise that was there to make one meal, just one meal enough for this widow woman and her son, and he just multiplies it day after day after day after day, and she and her son did eat for many days. Now, we're going to find in the next chapter where the widow woman's son dies. And we're going to find where Elijah prays to the Lord. Now, here's a prayer. If the Lord had asked me to mention two prayers in the book of James that would display the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, I probably would have chose this one, because Elijah is going to pray to the Lord, and the Bible says the Lord heard his prayer. And we find where the Lord restored life back into the widow woman's son. Now, here's a prayer that he prayed. We read he prayed it. We read how God answered it. We see the results of the prayer, the results of a righteous man's prayer. It availed much. So we have that recording, but we do not have the recording of his prayer where he prayed that it would not rain. He prayed it wouldn't rain, and rain for 3.5 years. We know he did it because James says so. But here's a prayer that the writer records that he prayed, and we have the details of. We find later on where there is a meeting between 450 false prophets of Baal and Elijah the prophet. And Elijah is asked this question: how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal, then him. And he told the 450 prophets, or told others, to bring two bullocks and give one to them, and he would take the other. And he let the 450 false prophets, he let them go first, and they put it on the altar, and they began to cry out to their God. Of course, they were crying to a lifeless God. You know, the difference between false gods and the true and living God is very simple. The true and living God is alive. False gods are lifeless. The true and living God is where life comes from. The false gods are lifeless and cannot give life, or they cannot answer. They have eyes that can't see, and ears that can't hear, and a tongue that can't speak. They have hands that can't handle, feet that can't walk. And they have to be carried from point A to point B by the people. But the true and living God is not carried anywhere. He's omnipresent, everywhere present, nowhere absent. But he carries his people. He carries us. And that's the kind of God I like to think about, like to preach about, like to tell about, that he carries his children. He reaches down with his everlasting arms under them and draws them close to him, and he carries them wherever they need to go. So we find where Elijah allows them to go first, but they get no response. And Elijah's going to have a little fun with this. And he said, well, I guess he's talking. The God you're praying to must be talking, or he perhaps is on a journey, or, he's on a trip somewhere, pursuing or on a journey, or maybe he's asleep and you have to wake him up. Well, you don't have to wake the true and living God up. Our God never sleeps. Our God never slumbers. You can reach him 24/7. It doesn't matter what day or time of day or time of night that you pray to God. God's always there with a hearing ear to hear the cries of his people. And we need to remember that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We know he prayed it wouldn't rain, and it did not rain. We may not read the prayer in 1 Kings 17, but James says he did. But we do read the prayer where he prayed to God and God raised back to life the widow's son. And we're going to see where Elijah's going to pray again. And so they had broken down the altar. He repairs the altar. He takes his offering, the evening sacrifice, and puts it on the altar. And he goes and gets four barrels of water, and he has them to pour it on there three different times. So that's 12 barrels of water. And then he filled the trench around the altar also with water. And then Elijah prays to the great God of Israel. And he calls upon him to manifest himself and show himself as the great God of Israel. And when he prayed that prayer, fire came down from heaven. I would say that this was the example of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. We have this prayer recorded for us. We have him crying out to God. God responds. Fire comes down. Fire consumes the offering. Fire consumes the altar. It consumes the stone and the wood and the dust and licks up the water that was in the trench. Total and complete annihilation, you might say, of all of that. This prayer is recorded for us. This is the third prayer we find Elijah praying. Each case, he prays, no doubt, fervently. He prays earnestly. In each case, we see how effectual that it was. It's been said that prayer really doesn't change anything. Just makes a person praying feel better. Well, I've often said it will certainly make you feel better. I've never prayed to God what I didn't feel better after I prayed than I did before I prayed. But I'm telling you, I believe that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much. God didn't give us this example of Elijah for nothing. He gave it to us for us to read and to study and to see it. And then we find where he goes on top of Mount Carmel. And he says to Ahab, he says, arise, eat and drink. And so the Bible says Ahab arose and he ate and drank. And while he has arisen and eaten and drinking, we find Elijah has gone up there and he's looking. And he looks out across the Mediterranean Sea and asks his servant to tell him what he saw. And he said he didn't see anything. So he tells him to do it seven times. And on the seventh time, he says, I see a cloud, a little cloud, not a big cloud, but a little cloud, like a man's hand. And Elijah told Ahab to get himself up and to go down the mountain. For he says, I hear the abundance of rain. The rain was going to be abundant. Now, we don't read where Elijah prayed it would rain again, but we know he did because James tells us he did. He prayed it would rain again, and now we find the rain is coming. It's not a light sprinkle. It's not a light shower. It is a cloud burst, and we find where Ahab got down the mountain to go to the gates of Jezreel, but it's interesting to me to see where the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he ran before Ahab. Ahab rode down the mountain. Elijah ran down the mountain. But the hand of the Lord being with him, he went before Ahab into the gates of Jezreel. There's four prayers we know that Elijah prayed. We find two of them recorded for us in Elijah's life in the Old Testament. But James tells us about the other two. If it wasn't for James, we wouldn't really know that. And that shows us how the Old Testament, the New Testament just complements one another. How to get the full picture and the full story of some of these things. We need to read the accounts in the New Testament of events that took place in the Old. But, you know, I'm glad that Elijah, while he's a man of like passions like as we are, which is important to notice this, because that keeps us from saying, well, I see that being the case with Elijah, but I don't think that would apply to me. Well, he says he was a man of like passions, just like you and just like me. He was human just like we are. He had frailties like we do. one thing and another, but he was a man of great faith. He was a righteous man, and he prayed earnestly, and he prayed fervently, and the results were that these prayers were very effectual. But I don't think we have to just restrict ourselves to the example the Lord gives us here of Elijah. I was thinking about Joshua chapter 10, and we find here as the Israelites have gone into the land of Canaan, Joshua being their leader, that there's some people in a place called Gibeon who were attacked by five kings of the Amorites, and they've called on Joshua for help. And the Lord says to Joshua, to fear not, he says, thou shalt overtake them, thou shalt defeat them. Not one man shall stand against thee. Now, the Lord guarantees victory before the battle's ever fought. That's another thing about our great God. He's the only one that can do that. He guaranteed victory and assured victory before the battle was ever fought. And so Joshua and his men traveled all day into the night, and the battle began. And then the Bible speaks how the Lord began to fight the battle for Joshua and them. And as they fled before Joshua and them, the Lord sent down great stones, hailstones from heaven, and those hailstones slew more of the enemy than Joshua had slew in the battle up to that point. But the battle is still not over. And then we're told that Joshua spake to the Lord. We're not told the details of what he said to the Lord, but apparently he must have asked the Lord to stop the sun and stop the moon right where they were at. He needed more time to be able to completely defeat the enemy. And the Bible says that then Joshua commanded the sun to stand, and the sun stood in the heavens, and the moon stood in the valley of Ohelon, and the battle pursued, and Joshua won the battle totally and completely. And then the scripture tells us that the sun stood in the midst of the heavens. And he says, in that day, there was never a day like that day before or after when God hearkened to the voice of a man. Joshua prayed to the Lord. The Lord hearkened unto Joshua. This, what an unusual event this was. The moon and the sun just stayed right where they were at. There was no movement. So I guess God's really the author of daylight savings time. It took place a long time before man came up with the idea and put it into practice. Here we find the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. His name is Joshua. When you study the life of Joshua, there's no question Joshua was a righteous man. And I believe Joshua was earnest in his request to God. I believe he was very fervent about it. And we see how effectual that it was. In the New Testament, we come to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And in verse 6, we read about a man, his wife, whose name is, her name is Elizabeth, his is Zacharias. And the Bible tells us that she was barren, they had no children, but we're told that they were both righteous, they were old and well stricken in years. Now, this is the second time in the Bible that somebody is described as being old and well stricken in years, and the first time and the other time is in the life of Abraham and Sarah. Now, Abraham and Sarah are going to have a child when, by according to nature, it was going to be impossible. Abraham would be 100 and Sarah would be 90. They were old and well stricken in years. It was not possible by nature for them to for her to conceive. But God overruled it and displayed his great power. And he's going to do the same thing in the life of Elizabeth and Zacharias. Now, the Bible says that they kept the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord there in the temple as Zacharias burned incense, and they kept the commandments of God and his ordinances blameless. This gives us information about how they were righteous. They were obedient to the Lord. They were faithful. They were dedicated. And then an angel appears unto Zacharias and tells him, thy prayer has been heard. Elizabeth shall conceive and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name John. Here's the effectual prayer of a righteous man. We find Zacharias being a righteous man. His wife, I believe, was a righteous woman. We also notice he didn't say that your prayers, but he says concerning Elizabeth and Zacharias, but he says specifically Zacharias' prayer has been answered. Here is a righteous man who has prayed, I believe, earnestly and fervently, and the results is going to be very effectual. And 9 months later, we have the fruit of it because Elizabeth is going to bring forth a son, and they're going to call his name John. Now, it's also interesting how weak human nature can be. Apparently, Zacharias and Elizabeth have prayed for a child, and the Lord answers that prayer. And then they take a look at themselves and they see how old they are and how well stricken in years they are. And Zacharias asked the angel, how can these things be concerning all this? And it obviously was a statement of doubt. And the Lord is not going to allow Zacharias to speak for 9 months. 9 months during the time that Elizabeth carries John the Baptist, he's not going to be able to speak. But when she brought forth that child, God loosened his tongue and he spoke. And he spoke wonderful things and glorious things and God honoring things about God. He was a righteous man. And this righteous man prayed fervently. This righteous man prayed earnestly. And this righteous man prayed effectually. God answered his prayer. So while we have the example of Elijah, he's not the only one. There's numerous people we can bring to the attention of everyone here tonight that would fit that verse of scripture. But I want to look at one more over here in Acts chapter 10, a man by the name of Cornelius. Now, the scripture doesn't say that Cornelius was a righteous man, but when you read the description of him, there can be no question that he was. We find that he was a man that gave alms to the people. He was a man who feared God with all his house. He was a man who prayed always. He was a man that was devout, which means he was godly and pious. I mean, here's four outstanding evidences of this man being a born-again child of God: devout, feared God, prayed to God, gave alms to the people, showed he was a charitable person, a kind person, a man of compassion. And the angel comes and says to him, thy prayers have been heard, and thy alms have come up before memorial before God. Notice his prayer and his alms. He's a man of words and a man of action. Later, as he obeys the Lord and sends three men to get Simon Peter, who is in the house of Simon the tanner, we're going to find they add a couple more things to his character. They will tell Peter he's a just man and hath good report of all the people. Here are six things said about Cornelius. And Cornelius has been praying, obviously he prayed with all his house. The Lord says your prayer is going to be answered. Your alms have come up before a memorial. And what a blessing it was, what a prayer, the prayer that was answered, what great blessings came into the life of Cornelius. Peter is going to respond and Peter is going to come. And I love this about Cornelius. He anticipated, no doubt, something so wonderful, so special, that before Peter ever got there, we find where Cornelius got his near friends and his kinsmen together. And when Peter got there, there was a house full of folks. Now, if we had that kind of zeal and that kind of influence, where our family would listen to us and our friends would listen to us, I believe we could build our churches up. I certainly believe that he was a man that lived in such a way that people respected him. They came in honor of him. They responded to his invitation to be there. And when Peter got there, it was not just Cornelius, his immediate household, but his kinsmen was there. And his near kinsmen and his friends was there. And they're going to hear a wonderful discourse preached by the Apostle Peter. And when it's all over with, Cornelius and his household are going to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're going to be baptized. Here is a righteous man. Here is a man who prayed earnestly. Here's a man who prayed very fervently. Here is a man whose prayers were very effectual. God said, your prayer and your alms have come up for memorial before me, which is simply saying, your prayers are going to be answered. What you've been praying for, I'm going to grant. I'm going to give you your request. And he sends the old Baptist preacher, the Apostle Peter. And Peter goes there and preaches. And the Lord's in the arrangement. And the Lord blesses him to preach. He blesses Cornelius to hear it. and we find where Cornelius and his household are baptized. Another case where the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When we see these examples, certainly it ought to encourage us in our own prayer life. But I would like to look at one more tonight, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is righteousness personified. He was a righteous man in ways that, Elijah and Cornelius and Zacharias and Joshua, you might say, were not. He didn't have to be made righteous. He was righteous personified once again. Everything he did was righteous. He never did anything that was not righteous. Every prayer that Jesus Christ ever prayed was answered by the Father. His request was always in harmony with the will of God. You know, in 1 John 5:14, the Apostle John says, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know if he heareth us, then we know that we have the request that we have made of him. What a positive statement that is about prayer. But how important it is for us to know the will of God, that we might pray in harmony with that. He said, this is the confidence we have in him, that is in God, not in ourselves. But this is the confidence we have in God. And brother, I want people to have confidence in me, and I want to have confidence in people. But being who we are, we have let people down from time to time. But God's never let me down. And God has never proven to be untrue about anything that he said. He's never failed to fulfill his promises. This is the confidence we have in him, that whatsoever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. And we know if he heareth us, then we know we have the petitions that we ask of him. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ never prayed a prayer that wasn't answered by the Father. And in John chapter 17, in the opening verses, the Lord Jesus Christ prays what we call the high priestly prayer. And he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, he might also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power of all flesh, and he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You know, I'm thankful I've never had to pray that prayer. I pray for God's people in many situations, many circumstances, but I've never had to pray and felt a need to pray that God would save so-and-so. Jesus has already taken care of that. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed for the elect. He prayed for those whom the Father gave him. As thou hast given him power of all flesh, that he should give, not offer, but give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's how many people will be given eternal life, as many as the Father hath given to the Son. And they'll all be with the Father in glory at the end of time when the Son comes back and gathers them together and takes them home to be with him in glory. I would say that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availed much, wouldn't you? The righteous man who lived the righteous life, who always prayed fervently. He always prayed earnestly. He always prayed according to the Father's will, and therefore his prayer was always answered. Thank God for the prayer of John chapter 17. May the words of James be an encouragement to each one of us as we go forward in life, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.